holy and awesome is God's name. Seeking God's forgiving love, let us come together in prayer, in confession, first in silence, and then praying together. Let us pray. O God of our whole lives, we pray to you today. We confess that we have fallen short this week of being the kind of people that you call us to be. We have not done justice. We have not loved kindness. We have not walked humbly with you, our God. The ways of the world are so easy for us, and your way is higher and harder than we know. For this reason, we come seeking you today. We need forgiveness. We need love. Help us to turn away from the sin that entangles us and give us the peace of knowing that your grace is sufficient for us. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing our song of confession, More Like You, which you will find in the small hymnal, the Sing the Faith hymnal, 2167, remaining seated. In Christ we are saved through faith. It is not our own doing, but a gift from God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Amen, amen. Being led in the way of Jesus, we turn to a time of prayer. We as a congregation lift up week by week joys and concerns from our lives and those people who we care about. We bring them before God. One that we want to share with you this morning is for our the wife of our former interim pastor, Gwen Miller, who many of you know. Keller. Gwen Keller had a heart attack this week and is doing okay, but is in the Miriam Hospital. It's a pretty big scare, and Jim is asking for our prayers and would love even a visit. If you know Gwen and Jim, contact him directly. Pastor Chris and I have that information if you like. So we're praying for Gwen Keller today in the hospital. Other prayers. Jerrison.
I ask you to pray for Sandra's cousin. He has lung cancer, and he is in intensive care in Brazil. His name is José Carlos.
Prayers for José Carlos in Brazil. Vivian.
My prayer is I thank God Priscilla went home, and she's back safely by God's grace. And today is my grandmother's birthday. She turned 202, and she's strong, and everybody is fine at home.
Amen. So Priscilla went to Ghana and came back. Okay, great. Marianne.
My uncle Julian still isn't doing very well. He's been in and out of the hospital, and right now he's malnourished because he's having trouble with eating because of some blood issues.
Prayers for Julian. Thank you. Another prayer back here. Jeremy.
I have a joy to lift up the Lord this morning. My family's here visiting with me in service. My mom, Karen, my sister, Sarah, my niece, Cora, my sister, Acacia, and her boyfriend, Vince. Very happy they're all with me today.
Welcome. Great to see you all. Other prayers today? Come around that way. Judy.
I'd like to ask prayers for another former pastor, Joe Miller, who has agreed to serve the Fall River United Church, which is in great conflict. And they also have a consultant. I'd like to ask prayers for her too, Ellie Richardson. So the two of them, hopefully, with God's help, can help this church get rid of its conflict and serve God. Yes.
Thanks. Prayers for the United Parish in Fall River and for Joe Miller and also Ellie Richardson. Thanks. Suzanne.
This is the Mission Yearbook. I would plug it, but this is the last copy on the shelf. But
we can order more.
Yeah, it's great. You learn everything about Presbyterians that you never knew they were even doing in all parts of the world. Today is Criminal Justice Sunday. I'm glad Jerrison and his wife are here. The Presbyterian Church has long been at work in the field of criminal justice, and they've done some amazing things. So the prayer for today is that we pray for a system of criminal rehabilitation based on restorative justice and an end to the death penalty. And prayers for my son Sebastian, who was incarcerated out at the ACI.
Thanks, Suzanne. Pray for Sebastian today and for the ministry of Jerrison in the prisons. Hi, Elena.
I'm asking you please to keep praying for my good friend Marilyn, who is going through a very extremely difficult time in her life.
Continue prayers for Marilyn. Thanks.
As an adult survivor, I'm starting EMDR therapy for PTSD. If there's anybody who has any experience with that, I'd appreciate it. Also, Mark's mom, Matilda, is having difficulty with anorexia, so we're trying to get her to eat.
Continue prayers for Matilda and for those who've overcome PTSD. Another prayer, Dave Shack.
You've heard about justice and conflict. There's an ongoing conflict in Rhode Island, primarily in Cranston, regarding a prayer banner. And we invite your prayers for that situation. And in gratitude for an excellent column, if you want to get straight on the issue, read Ed Fitzpatrick's column in today's Providence Journal. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. we do pray for that situation, and our own Ed Fitzpatrick. Okay.
A co-worker of mine named Debbie just lost her husband a week ago. His name was Thomas Kevin, and there was just a funeral yesterday. I just want prayers for her and her two boys and their family, their relatives. Thomas Kevin, Debbie.
Prayers for Debbie at the loss of her husband, Thomas. The prayers today. Come around to Dave Spader.
Prayer of thanksgiving and ongoing prayer for my niece Rebecca, 6-year-old, who needs a bone marrow transplant. The thanksgiving is that her youngest sister is a match, and almost a perfect match. So it gives us some hope, and things will move along a little quicker than if they had to go out to the registry. So prayer of thanks and ongoing prayer for that family, because it's still a long road to go.
Thanks, Dave, for Rebecca today. The prayers. Sanford, can I pass this down, Jay?
Prayers for Sister Vilma Silos, who passed away this week. She's part of the Carmelite Order in Barrington. Prayers for her and her loved ones.
Thanks for Sister Vilma, who's passed from this life into life eternal.
We also like to lift up prayers for C.J. Goulder. Her daughter Jean's husband died rather suddenly after a brain bleed on Friday. So please keep C.J. in prayer and Jean in this time of very unexpected grief. Let us pray. Creator and creating God, over this threshold to a new month and a new year, we have come surrounded by your care, your answers to prayer, your transformation in our lives. We see signs of grace abundant here in the midst of a world desperately seeking to be born anew, transformed in hope, justice, and peace. Help us to ever reach for that in our world, even as we pray for ourselves and those closest to us this morning. We pray for the nations of the world in need, for those hit with disasters in this week, for the ongoing challenges of pain and unemployment and homelessness in these rough winter months, for those in transition in their own lives, seeking to faithfully follow where you would lead amidst shifting lives and fortunes. May you be close to those in particular need today, as we lift up in prayer our criminal justice system for restorative justice and for those who work for that, including Gerson in our midst, for Sebastian, for the people in the Cranston school system and those who would bring peace and tolerance through that difficult time. We pray for those in grief, for Jean and CJ and their family, for the Afenia family in this first anniversary time of Christopher Robin's death, for Debbie and her family in the loss of her husband, for Sister Vilma and those who loved her. We pray for those who are in the midst of a time of medical need in their lives, for strength and healing, those named and unnamed here, for calm and peace in the midst of it all, for Gwen, for Jackie and Helen, for Marcus. We pray for those who walk alongside those who are ill and grieving, for Jim and CJ, for those who reach out in love. We lift in prayer this day, Jose and Julian, Marilyn, Rob, Matilda, and Rebecca, and gives thanks for this match for this bone marrow transplant. We give thanks, O God, for this year past as we gather in annual meeting today. Let us ever be grateful for your guiding hand and for all who have served so faithfully in ministry here. We pray for this new ministry, for Joe Miller and for the United Parish congregation, for his work and the work of Ellie Richardson there. We give thanks, O God, for the joys of our lives, for people reunited to us, for Priscilla's return from Ghana, for this big birthday of Vivian's grandmother, for the Wagner family visiting today. Help us, O God, to keep our hearts and minds, our spirits and actions always centered in where you are leading, in gratitude and hope, in trust and strength. We pray, O God, through the power of your Spirit, in the one who walked this world, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite all the children to come forward at this time and find a place here in the front, on the front pew or on the ground. Hi, come on in. That's about right in here. Hi, Liza. Sam. Sit right on here, right on the carpet. Wow. Jermaine, how you doing, ma'am? Come on in. Come on up, Harrison. Come on up. Okay. So, I brought something. Find a spot there, Josie. I brought something that I want to show you guys today. You can sit right there, that's okay. I brought something I want to show you guys today. Have you ever seen these before? Yeah, traffic cones. What would you do? What are some things you might do with these cones? What would you do? Yeah.
Okay.
What's that? You have some at your home. Okay. Yeah, Eden? What's that?
Use them as a megaphone. Good idea.
Yeah. If you had a scooter or a bike, you could make like an obstacle course with them and they could go around, zigzag. What else could you do? In their police car? On the police bike. Your dad, who's a policeman, uses these. That's great. What else, Ben? Good. That's right. For workers in the road, so the cars won't hit them. What else? Yeah, Josie. You can use them as a microphone like that. Anything else? Any other ideas? All these things we can do with just this simple cones. Oh, you have another one, Jermaine? Use them to talk with a water head. You mean like put them on her head? That's one idea. All the things that we do with these cones, here's the thing about cones. Everything we do is it helps something stand out. It points us and makes us say, hey, look at that. Sometimes it says, hey, look at that, it's on somebody's head and that's silly. Maybe it says, look at that, they're in the road protecting workers or being used by police officers. Sometimes we use them as a zigzag, right, to mark where you can go and don't go. And here at the church, we actually use these, especially on special Sundays, to put out in the front. We make a little space like this. See this? Right in the front, and we put space there. And in between the two cones is a place where maybe someone who has a car that can't get around very well, like a handicapped van, might go there. Or maybe if we have a special visitor, we might leave a space for them. These cones mark out a special space. They have a special use. That's what we use cones for, to make people look. And you know, let me tell you something. You know, in the church, every week we do something really similar. It's kind of like we all have a bunch of traffic cones, and we're putting them out and saying, this space, this time, is different. It's special. It's something that we need to take notice of so we don't crash into it, and so we can right, so we can navigate really well. So we recognize this is a special time. Here in church on Sundays, we sing and we pray and we learn downstairs. And then we go home throughout the week, and with our parents, we continue to learn about how God loves us so much. So I'm going to pray, and we can chat afterwards, and then I'm going to send you guys downstairs. Okay, let's pray. God of traffic cones and of all things, we thank you today. We pray for this time and place that you would bless us and each of these children in our midst. All these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, children are released to their classes at this time. The high school class is meeting today upstairs in the couches room. It's the fifth Sunday.
Old Testament lesson this morning is from Deuteronomy chapters 34, verses 1 through 8, found in your pew Bible on page 184, and found in the large print Bible on page 239, and also projected. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land. Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho and the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. The Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab at the Lord's command. He was buried in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his burial place to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His sight was unimpaired, and his vigor had not abated. The Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the period of mourning for Moses was ended. Our New Testament lesson comes from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 8, found in your pew Bible on page 41, and then the large print Bible on page 54, and also projected. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Good morning. We continue today with our sermon series called Crossing the Threshold. You remember that here in this month of January, we are in this kind of changeover time period where we're in a threshold between two kinds of experiences. And this is a chance for us to pause and reflect a little bit about who we have been and who we are called to be. And so we've been talking in these weeks about four different thresholds that God invites us to cross over. We've talked about moving from the past into the future. We've looked at moving from isolation into community. We've heard about stepping out of the crowd and into being a disciple. And now this week, in the fourth and final installment of our series, we're talking about crossing over from faith into sight. From faith into sight. This might seem like kind of a surprising choice given the song we just sang, which was called We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight. But stick with me because I hope I can explain this idea as we get going today. But first, I want to see just a quick show of hands. How many of you are planning to stick around today for our annual meeting and brunch? Who's sticking for the annual meeting and brunch? Looks like a good number of you. You know, it takes some faith to raise your hand and say you're going to do this kind of thing. You know, we've been saying again and again that our meeting will be quite brief. How brief will it be? It takes faith. We've been saying that there'll be some delicious foods downstairs waiting. How delicious will it be? It takes faith. We've been saying that that slideshow, the end of the year pictures, is going to be a great time. But will it really? You wonder. It takes some faith. You know, there's always a question in our minds when it comes to questions of faith. The Bible says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. But we are a people of faith. And even so, in our faith, we sometimes need some encouragement. And I want to suggest to you today that this threshold we're talking about crossing from faith into sight has to do with the multitude of little ways that God seeks to encourage us in our faith. That crossing from faith into sight is not to say goodbye to our faith, but it is to enter into a time of watching and waiting, looking for signs that God is at work. And so this is what we might call sight, or even sightings today. Little glimpses that tell us something is happening. If we are attentive to these things, we might grow in our faith. So for all of you who have the faith to stay today for our meeting and the brunch that's coming up, I want to offer an encouragement to you. It's a sighting. It's Gina Bay. Yes. Just imagine the great pictures you're going to see downstairs and the conversation I'm going to have with Gina after worship. Just think about that. So I want to encourage you not only to stay today, but also in your faith with Jesus Christ this morning. So as we begin and get into this topic, let's pray together. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Old Testament story that we read together today is probably the best example of the threshold that we are crossing over today. It's from moving faith into sight. You remember that the Bible starts out Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These are the first five books of the Bible. They're also called the Pentateuch. And they form the core of the Hebrew Scriptures. So our story today comes from the last chapter of the last book of the Pentateuch. And it tells the story of the death of Israel's first great leader, Moses. This is a familiar story to us, whether we know it or not. I suspect that we have heard a version of it many times, again and again, over the years, especially in the month of January, this month when we mark the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. You remember that this story was the inspiration for his famous I Have a Dream speech, in which he said, I have been to the mountaintop, just like Moses, and I have seen the promised land, just like Moses. And I might not get there with you, just like Moses. And this is a familiar story because Moses shows up throughout the Hebrew Scriptures and even into the New Testament. He was a great leader of the Hebrew people of the Old Testament and an exemplar or a model for faith for us of what it looks like to follow God. Prior to this passage from Deuteronomy this morning, Moses has been leading the Hebrew people for the past 40 years all through the wilderness. Trusting God, he brought them up out of Egyptian slavery, and he's spent all these years trying to keep people's faith and hope alive as they journey wandering with some wrong turns and detours along the way on their route towards the promised land. So Moses is this classic example from Scripture of a life well lived with God. And here at the very end of his life, he receives his reward. God brings him up on a mountaintop. And mountaintops in the Bible are always a place where something special or spiritual can happen. It's the place where heaven meets earth. This is a mountaintop experience. Whenever in the Bible someone goes up a mountain, we need to pay attention because something important is about to happen. So God brings Moses up the mountain and shows him all the land that is set out before him. And God says, "This is the land that I promised to your ancestors, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. This is the land of promise, and I wanted you to see it with your own eyes." And Moses' faith becomes sight. His faith is confirmed. He gets to see, finally, all those things he had worked for and lived for and believed in. But then God says, "You will not cross over into it." Moses dies and is buried, and the people mourn his loss. So Moses sets for us a kind of example of a life lived in faith, but also of the way that God is faithful in giving a reward. Of course, unlike Moses, our reward doesn't come in our lives. It comes after our lives, how God welcomes us home, in how God gathers us in, and how God says to us, finally, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In this life, Paul writes in the letter of the First Corinthians, we see only dimly as in a mirror, but then at the end of life, we shall see clearly, even face to face. And that's kind of our hope. That's our what we wait on, that God will do this for us in the end. But there's a problem here. There's a problem here because this is probably good news for us in an ultimate and final and even eschatological way. But what about today? Is this good news for you and me today and in these days and in these regular kind of times of our lives? Well, in order to get at the good news that's in this story, I know it is, I want us to reframe our thinking a little bit about faith and sight. We know that maybe sight isn't the word we want to use. Maybe it's sightings, not like Elvis sightings or UFO sightings or Bigfoot sightings. But what I mean by that is somehow a time when we can sense or experience God, these whispers or murmurings, indications or hints all along the way. You probably remember that old story, and even if you've heard it before, bear with me, about a man who lived in a flood zone. And the warning went out for the flood. Everyone needed to evacuate, but this man, he wouldn't go. And he said, "Don't worry, God will save me." And so as the water rose, a neighbor came by in a 4x4 pickup truck and offered him a ride and said, "Let's get out of here." He said, no, "God will save me." And the water rose, and the man went up to the second floor of his house. And a motorboat came by and said, "Get in, let's go." And he said, "Don't worry about me, God will save me." And then the water rose higher, and the man had to climb up onto his rooftop. And a helicopter came and lowered down a cable. And the pilot shouted, "Grab hold, and I'll take you out of here to safety." And the man said, "Don't worry about me, God will save me." And then the man drowned. And he went to heaven, and he went directly to God and said, "God, what happened here? I thought you were going to save me." And God said, "I sent you a truck, I sent you a boat, and I sent you a helicopter. Didn't you see that I was trying to save you?" So the threshold that we're crossing here is into faithful watching or noticing, being on the lookout for indications that God is with us as we go. In the New Testament story that we read today, Jesus brings his disciples up onto a mountaintop. This is another mountaintop experience. And it says that Jesus was transfigured before them. His clothes became gleaming white. His glory shone out. They saw him no longer as a mere human, the carpenter's son, but as God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us, full of light and life. And people representing the law and prophets, Moses and Elijah, were there with him. And the disciples do something that I think we often do, which is they assume they've been brought there to do something. What can we do? How can we help Jesus? Do you need a folding chair? They try and set up some tents, some shelters. Maybe that's what we're here to do. But the purpose of the transfiguration in the Bible is not that Peter and James and John should do something. Instead, it is showing them something that God is doing. The purpose for them is to see who Jesus is somewhat more clearly, so that their faith may be bolstered and built up. Their task was not to do all the things that jumped into their minds. It was simply to notice, to witness, to see. Now, we are a people of faith, and our faith is in the living and invisible God. But the step of faith that I'm inviting you to consider taking today is to be attentive, to look out for sightings of God in our midst. God shows up in so many different ways. We see God in the beauty of nature, maybe out on a long walk or a sunset over a lake, in the intricacy of a snowflake or a fallen leaf. We see God in the wonder of worship, in a song or that speaks to us, or a prayer that lifts our spirits. We can see God in the words of Scripture, be it here in worship or in a Bible study time or even in a private devotional reading. We can see God in mission and service, maybe out on a work site or a food pantry, where we have a sense that God's Spirit is in this place somehow. We can see God in our fellowship and our life together as a church, maybe at a supper at TNT or even around a table, the brunch, following this worship service today. How do you see God in your life? What is a sighting that you've noticed as you think about your life? I don't mean a mountaintop experience necessarily. I don't mean that you've seen the promised land. But where do you see God at work for you? What are the indications? What are the hints? What are the clues? God calls us to faith, and our faith is deepened as we actively take look out for the places that God is with us, the way that we watch for God in our lives. And so we cross over from faith into sightings, and then we cross back again. We cross over from faith into sightings, and then back again. Because these bits of grace, these reminders of God's presence with us, these holy moments don't happen every day. We may not notice them all the time, and we can feel like we're on our own. But it's in those moments, those times, when we notice them, that we're being built up like disciples on a mountaintop. We are given something to carry with us into the rest of our lives, because we're not meant to live on a mountaintop, instead on the uneven places, the roughness of our lives. So the purpose of holy noticing and watching is being built up and encouraged in faith. As we come back from the mountain, back into the regularness of our lives, we continue to walk with faith. You know, just 2 hours from now, this whole church building will be empty. And you'll be gone, and I hope I will be too. We'll be out again into the things that we have waiting for us, into the regularness of our lives. But my prayer for you today, my hope, is that you will cross over from your everyday faith into a particular knowledge that God is with you, that God is alive in you, that God is leading you in your life. And with that knowledge, may you then cross over back out into what you have ahead of you, built up in your faith, on the lookout for the signs of God, and trusting that God is with you all along the journey of your life, from beginning to end. Amen.
join with me now in our affirmation of faith? Oh, please stand and join with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now is the time when we give our tithes and offering back to God's work.
Please feel free to sing along if you want.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe you'll be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, ever worship you. I can only imagine. Only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or kneel when I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe you'll be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to whom I fall, will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
giver of life and glory, may these gifts be given back to you to continue your work in the world and to spread your love and peace. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please remain standing as we sing together our final hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," led by the worship band. Is good. Render to no one evil for evil, but support the weak and help the afflicted, and honor all persons, love and rejoice in the power of the Lord's Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May God's blessing descend upon you and remain within you both now and forevermore. Amen. I invite you to be seated. And I will call to order the annual meeting of the congregation here on this 29th day of January 2011. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. We're going to begin with a word of prayer, and then we're going to have the annual meetings passed out. Let's pray. God, you have led us through every year and every age, including this year past. We give you thanks for your faithfulness to us, for your care for your church. We pray that in these few minutes we might hear something from you and come to express and communicate who we are in a clear way. Thank you for your blessings and your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ushers are now passing around a copy of our annual meeting report, or annual report, which was available last week. If you didn't get it, it's available now. The docket is included in the report. I need to adopt this docket. Does that mean I need like a motion? Thank you. Any second. All right. This docket has been moved and seconded. Is there agreement that we shall adopt this as our docket for the day? If so, say yes.
Yes.
Okay. The minutes for 2011 session meetings are included here and have been of the congregational meetings are here and have been reviewed by the session. And in this packet, you will find reports from all areas of church life, including the pastors, the committees of the church, and various ministries and missions of the church. So you can take this home to read. You can peruse it right now. One important thing that we wanted to point out to you is the 2012 budget. And Pastor Chris has a few words about that.
This was a test, and Glenn Ramsey won the prize. You will note in your annual report that there is no listing of how many receipts we got for this year, so that is coming out on a separate page of paper to you to be added to your annual report. A few notes about the budget, which you will find in the page 14 at the very end of the annual report. The budget is approved by the session and was duly approved in January. There is a change that is to be noted with regard to the terms of call that you approved in December for your pastors. At that time, we had an estimate of what we would be bringing to Board of Pensions for both the pensions and the health insurance expenses, and the accurate figures are included in the budget. So if you read very carefully your numbers, you will find that they are significantly higher due to the change in the dues and also the wonderful raise that you gave us last year, or for this year in our calls. So the actual numbers are reflected in the budget for 2012, so do make note of that. You will note that if you note next to the 2012 budget, the actual expenditures for 2011